Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
Let's just pray, Lord, we thank you as we get into the word today that we would not forget our opportunity to serve those who are underserved. That it is not a cliche that we are the hands and feet of Jesus. It is a truth. That God, that when we go out into the community and deliver service to people who aren't sure about you or don't know you, we change the climate of the world and we cause people to come out of darkness into the light. We pray, God, that we as believers would be more motivated after the word that goes forth today to do this and live this way than any other time in our lives. We bless you for the privilege to not just hear your word, but to respond to it. Now, Lord, think through my mind. Speak through my mouth. Let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, you're my strength and redeemer. In every glad heart, say amen. Amen. Turn to three people and tell them, you know I love you, you know I love you, you know I love you. I'm not just sitting next to you. I love you. I love you with the love of Christ. I want you to know I love you. You're my friend. We all good. You know, it's good. All right. Philippians 1 and verse 27, and also we'll spend most of our time in Philippians 2. I want you to know, as when you came in, you received a card that said service commitment. I want to bring this card up before the message even starts. I want you to know that we're starting a new series called, At Your Service, and that because God has said that it's harvest time, that we need to get ready for a new influx of people as we go to the building. That is just everything is double the amount. So it takes hundreds of volunteers now to pull off this service. It would take hundreds more volunteers in the following service. We need you. If you're thinking you're not qualified, no, you are. You are qualified to do everything we need done. So I just want you to get into the game. And in the card, you can go ahead and fill out your name and email and phone number, because we need 100% participation, even from our regular attenders who have not joined the church yet, simply because you don't want me to force you to commit by saying I'm a member. But you come all of the time. Yes, I'm talking to you as well. And then you mark, there's a spot for an X that says, I'm going to recommit in my area, especially, and I'm telling you that commitment is at least a year. We need you over the next year to recommit to your area, so if you are serving. But if you're not serving, we want you to put an O. And though there are a variety of areas that you can serve in the church that are greater than the number of areas listed on this card, if you would be so kind to help us in these areas of greatest need, we would be appreciative of that. You can fill that out. Now, I'm not going to collect it now. We're going to preach the word of God, which is not exclusively about how you serve in the local church, but hopefully when you hear about how Jesus served humanity, you'll be motivated and inspired, if you wrote nothing down on the card, to at least write something before you pass it in, to appreciate Jesus a little bit. Hallelujah. All right, let's get started. Philippians 1, verse 27. What we're going to try to achieve today is, when we hear the exhortation of how we're to dwell together in unity and in service, we want to allow the text to show us examples of the mind of Christ and the motivation of Christ and the manifest glory and praise that came from God as he had the right mindset and motivation. We want that to invade us, that we might respond to life and human need the same way that Jesus Christ did. So we're going to start in Philippians 1 and verse 27. Here we go. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit and one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. You know, it's one thing to say something. It's another thing to do something. It's one thing to have the title that you are married and yet look unmarried or walk unmarried. There's one thing to have the banner over your life be you are a Christ follower or a Christian, but your life is not giving the example through how you live every day that you are actually a Christian. They'll know you're a Christian by your love. They'll know you're a Christian by your service. Love is not just a word or an emotion. It is definitely more like an action. And how do you act? Do you act in such a way that when people look at you, they automatically say, oh, that's a Christ follower, because they are living as Christ lived. Statistically, sometimes, statistically, people avoid the Christian faith or say no to the Christian faith when they don't see the gospel lived out in our life. In other words, the way Christ lived in humility and laying down his life to see others redeemed, they can't see that Christians want to move out of the way and inconvenience themselves for other people. There would be more people in the kingdom if those people who are selected from time to time to get on the news and represent the Christian faith were not given the mic to say the crazy things that don't represent Christ nor us, because they were uninformed, uninvolved, and they did not do the things consistent with the spirit of Christ, the mind of Christ, or that promoted the gospel. God does not save people with the bad news. You know how bad they are. Look at them. They're just bad, just nasty people. Okay, that's not going to save anybody. You keep that part to yourself, but you can give them the good news that they can be washed up and they can be clean. People know what they're doing wrong. I'm going to say it again. People know what they're doing wrong. They don't need us to announce what's wrong. They need us to announce what God has done to help us become right. Serving. Are you one that looks to be served before you serve? Are you looking to see how good the quality of ministry or service is to you before you dispense your time and energy to other environments that may not be worthy of you because they didn't give you something first? What did we offer Christ in payment for the eternal salvation he gave to us through the service of his life? The Bible says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. What is it about us that is synonymous with him in taking up our cross daily, laying down our comforts daily, and following him? In your marriage, do you give love to your spouse if they did a good job of caring for you? Do you do the work of being a good citizen if your government and those agencies and institutions that are designed to serve you do a good job? Or do you show up when things have not gone your way? And you have a right to be indignant and mad. Do you show up anyway, say, I volunteer? You have to remember, Christ came while we were yet sinners and died. So we're not asking anyone to come to perfect environments and serve your church, your community, your family. We want you to go to the imperfect environment and says, it needs me. You don't go up and say, why don't they cut the grass? You go up and say, they haven't cut their grass in 3 weeks. I'm going to walk over to their home and find out if there's someone sick or someone in trouble, that because the uncut grass is an indication that they might need some help. Or is it the lack of the pleasingness of the yard to your eyes an opportunity for you to scorn your neighbor? What is it? What imperfection causes grumbling and complaining out of you and I instead of a heart of humility to display the love of Christ, that the gospel might be visible to people instead of invisible? Jesus is amazing. What we could not do, he successfully did. he exclusively did it. There's time out for the excuses to say, the reason that I know that Jesus did a lot, and I know that you're expecting me to be by Jesus, but I want you to announce to you, I'm not Jesus. I can't walk on water. I can't perform miracles. In fact, what you see is what you get. This is the best that I have to offer. And you shouldn't expect more from me because I'm imperfect. I'm not like Jesus. Have you ever thought or said that as an excuse to why your good Christian behavior, as Paul is identifying in verse 27, is not evident when he's absent or when he's present? Doesn't need a qualifier. I was happy when God used my first year of college to help turn my mind from being self-serving into more being available for Christ. I remember I was a business major, which is nothing wrong with business, but I wanted to just make money. And my statement was, after I make enough money, I'll then make myself available more to God. Because after all, if I have enough money, then I can be a greater contributor. And that was my motivation and my inspiration. So as God got a hold to me, I changed my major to social work. And one of the first volunteer serving opportunities I had was to work at to serve voluntarily at the SOS Crisis Center, which was a suicide hotline. So you worked from midnight to 6 a.m. Because statistically, this is the time that darkness invades the hearts and mind of those who are oppressed or depressed or oppressed or dismal. And the meditation, that whisper of the enemy that says it would be better for you not to be here than to be here, and the solicitation to take your life comes. And why you think this is a non-relevant subject matter to the one that I'm speaking of in Tennessee, our suicide ranking is rising, it's not declining. And so today's message could give you more purpose for living than you may have previously thought possible. So I trained for several weeks and never did I get a call. So the first night I'm on by myself at 2 a.m., I get a call. And then I realize that my service is not routine. My service is not nonsensical or irrelevant. My service is so relevant that I have a person's life in my hands that says, I just wanted to let someone know I won't be here anymore. And at that moment, 4 hours of intense conversation to convince a person that life is worth living because Christ made the decision for you to be here and he knows what he's doing. And I got this person to write a note, which is what you should do if you ever find someone talking to you like this. Write a note promising me that it would not take their life until we could give them some help. Man, one act of service that was just routine during my weeks of training, nobody called. I said, why did he even have this ministry? Nobody calls you. But now I'm ready and someone calls. Today, I want you to have that ready mindset. I love how Jesus said, lo, I come in the volume of the book that is written of me. Can we show up when our participation seems irrelevant? Can you show up and do what seems to be mundane, nonsensical, repetitive, something easily done by somebody else we could pay or somebody else that has less to do than us, to turn a knob on the soundboard, to diminish it? But yet that knob is allowing for the clarity of the gospel to get out into someone's ears. Don't diminish what you have to do. Look at Philippians 2, verse 1 through 5. Mind of Christ is what we need. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, by the way, Paul is writing this letter from prison. By the way, he's writing it to encourage people in Philippi who have who are probably the first church there. He's writing during a time where his own personal persecution is, his own personal pain because he's serving the kingdom of God, is not working hurt in the body of Christ, but help. More people are coming to Christ. If I have any comfort of love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection, any sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being full accord and of one mind, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Let each one of you look not only on his own interest, but also on the interest of others. Having this mind, this selfless mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. It's easy to show up and say, you know they need me. You know I'm the best. It's easy to show up because we're going to get praise or they're going to give out a free t-shirt. It's easy to show up and the reward is something you get instead of something that you get to give. When it's selfish, it's self-motivated. You're trying to see, this will be a good thing on my resume. This will be a good thing for my college application. This will be a good thing to report to my job that I'm doing good community work. And yes, while those things may be true, they cannot be the inspiration behind what you do or the why. There was nothing that we can give to Jesus Christ. The mind was in him. There was nothing we can give except the opportunity to fellowship with him and to reign with him because we said yes to him as Lord. He served us in this way. He thought about our needs. You know, an example of this, I'm going to use an example about myself that will seem self-serving because it's going to celebrate something that I did yesterday. But I can tell you there have been thousands of times that I have never acted this way. I even shocked myself. So yesterday, oh, by the way, you don't know this, so don't act shocked. This happened yesterday on the way to the wedding. I got into a car accident. I meant to tell you last night before this mess, but that didn't happen. You didn't see the damage when you was going by there. Somebody was in the audience like, man, that's going bad for him. So I had the car. But I was at a red light, and somebody slid into the back of me. Bam! And something happened that I don't think has ever happened in my recorded history in life. I jumped out of the car, and I was running over to his car, and he was getting out, and I saw this petrified look, and I just said, man, come on, let's just hug it out. That's the first thing I did. Come on. I said, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. This man, I don't even know him. Come on, come on. I said, it's all right. It's all right. Because I instantly saw my damage versus his damage. And I said, man, you messed up right now. I know. You all messed up. Come on, it's all right. It's all right. And then I shocked myself further. I did not intend to say this, but if you let Christ get into your heart far enough and deep enough, you'll start saying stuff that don't sound like the selfish you. It sounds like the Christ in you. And I said, hey, look, man, you look messed up. So I will pay for your car to get fixed. And as I was saying it, I said, are you crazy? You don't know how much that's going to be. That's too much damage. I said, are you all right, man? I know. I mean, I'm just getting all in. I'm involved. I don't know. I'm thinking I'm outside of myself. This is how Christ would talk. This is how a Christian talk. This is not how I talk. Man, you hit me. I'm on the way to a wedding. You done tore up my ride. Why weren't you watching where you was going? What's wrong with you? This is ridiculous. Man, give me your insurance papers. Concern. He said, I have insurance. Are you sure? I said, this is Jesus because you know if you report to the insurance, it might go different. So do you need me to help? He said, no, I got it. And I drove off. One of 1,000 times in my life where I wasn't self-centered. And I served. And that felt good. And I thought, it took this long for Jesus to get me thinking right? To have the mind of Christ? My goodness. Because when you do one act like that, you start understanding how dark your heart has become. And I could not believe this was abnormal for me instead of normal. And it felt so good. And I did not know how much it was going to cost me, but I said, I'm willing to pay. Now let this be a motivation for anyone else to hit me with your vehicle. You will pay if you heard the message. You heard the message. There's somebody backslid already. You going to know. You going to pay. Let's go to point two. I love that verse 6 moves us from his mind to how he acted out, how he thought. As a man thinketh continually in his heart, so is he. How did Christ act out this disposition he had about life? The Bible says, verse 6, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant or a slave, being born in likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself. How he acted out the mind, the right way of thinking. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. I love this particular scripture and how we could parallel it to our life in how short we come to this, but how he's an example of how we can come up to this, that while he was fully God, there's no part of Jesus that's not God. But yet, he did not engage his nature or his title to take advantage of the privileges that his title and nature provide him with. In other words, he's all-knowing, but he says, I don't know the day, only the Father knows. He's all-powerful. He had a legion of angels waiting to come destroy everything, but he didn't access it. The Bible says, though he was rich, yet he became poor, that through his poverty we might become rich. Though he had no needs, he allowed himself to become needy of food, water, nourishment. He allowed himself to experience. Though formerly he had such a glory that he would say to the Father, hey, clothe me for a moment with the glory that I had with you before, that I laid down to redeem, that I gave up. If anybody was busy, God would be busy running everything. If anybody would be too high to come this low, it would be God. If it's anybody who could, you know, exempt themselves or opt out of mundane and everyday work, it would be God. But yet he took the form of a slave. He emptied himself. That means nothing left. This is by choice. He didn't cease being who he was. He didn't take advantage of who he was. To show you and I it could be done. And none of us is too good to do it. How many times, James Lowe, have you looked at certain activities that are needed to be done and upgraded yourself out of them because, actually, you know, after all, they don't need me to do the basics. I've done my season, and that time is up. I don't change poopy diapers in children's ministry. I don't do the sweeping anymore, you know, I don't do whatever others do. I now do the lofty work, the important work of standing before you, nicely dressed, delivering the word from God. Hallelujah. And no, I have nothing to boast. I'm looking for work to do. Somebody said at Easter, Pastor James, why was you out at the in the parking lot ushering cars in during Easter? Because I'm looking for work. Pastor James, why was you driving the shuttle? Because I'm looking for work. Pastor James, after that Malaysian flight went down, why did you fly, you know, to India? Because I'm looking for work. I hate flights. I hate going overseas. But I'm looking for an opportunity to serve. Why did you show up at the All-Pro camp and take even a moment to invest in some children you don't know, some families you don't know? I'm looking for work. But my normal resting position is to look to be served versus to serve. But when I look at my Christ, my Lord, my Savior, who humbled himself repeatedly and constantly, it is difficult for me to maintain that type of position in life. I have become so accustomed to doing in my life what is of best benefit for me that I no longer can see that what's good for me at times is not good for everyone that needs me. And scripture goes on to conclude, therefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, things under the earth, in the earth, above the earth, and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. He was praised. A lot of us want the praise, but we don't want to do the work. The Bible says, but every man shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for the deeds done in the body, whether they be good or evil. The Bible says, you've been faithful over the little, he'll make you ruler over much. Every one of us should want to hear the words, well done, good and faithful service. I want to hear God say, well done, Jane, good and faithful service. I don't want to hear him say, well, all right, let's just see how much you didn't do. I want well done. If I just hear well and the done don't come, I know I'm cooked. What is life? It's an opportunity. He goes on in that final verse to just say, work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. And the emphasis is there's a part of all of this that God has done for you, revealing to himself as Savior, Lord, Master, King, and giving you the opportunity to come out of darkness to light. But then there's something you've got to work out. He secures your salvation, but there's a perseverance. There's some more work that we've got to do. You're not going to live that life of holiness and that Christian life that's synonymous with Christ's life by just being casual. You need to be around the saints as many opportunities as you can to be sharpened. And the house of God is not the only place to serve. But you know what? It is a primary place you should serve because Christ died for the church. Because it can make others better and you better at the same time. I don't know how God is speaking to your heart, and I don't know how the Lord would have applied this card to the message. I don't really know. It's just work that we have to get done in church. But I tell you this, it's inspired me to ask myself and my family the question, how committed are we? And is God asking us to recommit or to get involved in another area we've never been in? So if you're a member of this church or you're a regular attender who hadn't stepped over to being a member yet, you need to fill this card out accurately and completely and listen to God the Holy Spirit telling you what to do. Take 1 minute and do it now as the Spirit leads you. The Spirit is not leading you anywhere. You are not listening to him speak to you right now. He is talking. Oh, I just heard him say children's ministry with somebody. It's funny to sing the song, What About the Children, like it's a cute and pretty song, but requires nothing of you or me. It requires something. Once you filled it out, I want you to just pass it to the right, and you can stand up, and I'm going to pray for you. Ministry team, you can come on down now. Sir, where is your son? Where lies his refuge? And if he can't come to you, then where can he run? Such a foolish girl. Still, she's your daughter. And if you will reminisce your days of young, so humbly I come to you and say, as I sound aloud the warfare of today, hear me, I pray. What about the children? To ignore is so easy. So many innocent children choose a wrong way. As you leave today, it's not just about this house. It's not just about the community. It's how we represent Christ in our heart, the integrity of our heart as individuals, and he's expressed in everything. But when we don't do our part, who's hurt? Who's lost? Who remains confused? Take your imperfect life and sow it and use it to serve. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus as we leave this place in the upper venue, as we leave this place in the sanctuary, as we click off from online, that we would turn our hearts on to you. We hear clearly that thus saith the Lord. We would hear clearly that we have the mind of Christ and the opportunity to act like Christ and to be glorified with Christ and to work it all out. Not just your part of salvation, but our part of living a life that's consistent with the salvation we said yes to. Help us, Lord. Breathe on us, Lord. We trust you in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. If, as you leave, if Jesus is not Lord of your life, you need to come and get prayer. If you're confused or depressed or hurting, or you just need to celebrate, or you need fellowship, come. This is your call to discipleship. God bless you. Dismissed. If you're taking a picture with me because you completed your pledge, I'll meet you outside. God bless you. Give God one more hand clap of praise.